You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Hey, get to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Subscribe on YouTube, like this episode, subscribe for the newsletter, follow all the social media accounts, and generally keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. And hey, remember, Common Fans, game day isn't complete without delicious Nebraska beef. If you really want to upgrade your spread this season, Oak Barn Beef has got you covered. They ship premium Nebraska-raised beef straight from their family farm to your front door. Steaks, roasts, ground beef, you name it. Order online at oakbarnbeef.com. That's oakbarnbeef.com. And make every tailgate or watch party a little more memorable. Speaking of tailgates, Common Fans, we're doing the Common Fan tailgate October 25th, Northwestern game. We're going to be in lot 10. That's on W Street between 14th and 16th. Send us a DM on Twitter or email us at commonfangbr@gmail.com. If you want more details, we'd love to see some old friends and listeners or meet some folks that we haven't met yet. And speaking of the Common Fan tailgate, today's guest, Josh Peterson, has been invited to the tailgate. He came up with sort of a vague excuse, so we're not sure if he's going to be there, but we're hoping
it depends on if I will be in Lincoln for the game, because we are approaching basketball season. And good to be with you guys, by the way. We're
nice
approaching hoop
you,
season. Yeah. and so for that, it means my co-host, John Bishop, is about to enter peak J-Skur season. Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know, Creighton has an exhibition game that same day. And so depending on what time the game is, I actually might have to take over and do the pregame show, 1620, the pregame for John. And if that's the case, I will be in Lincoln and I will be able to make the tailgate. So I guess fingers crossed that it's a night game. If it's a night game, you guys will see me. If it's an 11 a.m. game, I will be doing a podcast at home. Saturday.
Fingers are crossed, Josh. We don't want an 11 a.m. kickoff. We want this is an annual tailgate. 11. And we would make do. We would make.
Yeah, it'll be
so
fine
early. We would have a great time. But 2:30.
Very tired.
Anything but 11. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Also, Josh, if Jeff tries to charge you, just know that it's a scam and don't give him any money.
Okay. Good. Okay. He had already sent me a Venmo request. And I was I don't know if I'm coming yet.
So yeah.
Let's hold off a little bit. But good
I'm not
to know.
Surprised. He's been doing that to everybody. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So if you get a text that says, hey, all you need to do is give me $50 in Home Depot gift cards and you can come to the Common Fan tailgate.
All right. I will remove that from my cart because I had actually already added it.
That was right.
You're generous. I don't know how to work Venmo. What are you guys talking about?
That is true.
You need a cup, buddy? $5.
Jeff's calendar is like a huge paper book that he just, every time we try to schedule an episode, he's like, I'll get back to you on Monday. All right, Josh. Well, I think let's start that. Where can Common Fans find your stuff, Josh? You got so much stuff going on. You're on the radio. You got the I-80 Club. Tell us about all your stuff.
Yeah, so the job that pays the bills is unsportsmanlike conduct on 1620 The Zone. I have healthcare with that job, which is nice. It is on each and every weekday, 1620 The Zone, 2 to 6 Central Time. It's available on YouTube. It's available on streaming. Love to have you watch our YouTube channel. We have a growing community in the YouTube comment section, which can always be fun to watch. So that's each weekday from 2 to 6. As you mentioned, do the I-80 Club, founded this with Jack Mitchell, a little more than 3 years ago. And so this is our fourth season. We literally, guys, have a podcast in some form or fashion now every single day, not involving Jack and me, but we have Volleyball State involved with us. We have since February. This year, we're doing the Big Ten Breakdown with Ben Stevens, which does a preview on Fridays and a recap on Monday. Jack and I, we do a Wednesday podcast that is exclusive for subscribers. And then we have a couple ones on Saturday, assuming there's a game day. We do the Saturday morning coffee show, which is available at 9 o'clock. and a recap postgame show, which is normally 7, 8, 9, somewhere in there at night. And that's available all free on the I-80 Club YouTube channel. And then I started writing this year for Husker Max, which I know you guys are involved with Husker Max. So I usually do, right now I'm trying to do one column a week, like a post-gamer. Though sometimes I use the game as like an entry point into something else. So like this week, because I usually write on Sundays, I was like, well, the news of Penn State is now here. Yeah. I'm going to write about Matt Rhule and Penn State. So I do that, and that comes out on Monday mornings. So yeah, those are the various things. I'm not doing any more running content. I'm not doing a running podcast anymore. So I was like, I'm too busy. Let's just add a different thing as I report.
As a fellow runner, I could have been willing to help you out with that, Jeff. So.
Yeah. Don't you dare, Jeff. Josh, have you done full marathon, Josh?
Yeah, I'm wearing a sweatshirt that I got in Boston because I did Boston earlier this year for the first time. Yeah.
So, Jeff, you are not the same.
Yeah,
you are not
Jeff,
the same.
Jeff, walking the Cathedral of the Risen Christ half mile doesn't really count. just so you know. So, Josh, you brought up Penn State. Obviously, for someone who does what you do, the fun never stops when it comes to covering Nebraska football. Before we get to that really quick, before we hit record, Matt suggested that I was getting bald enough that I need to start shaving my head. Do you think that's true?
I think it's the lighting is what's going on here, guys.
That's it. That's
very
the lighting.
It's the lighting.
You know what? I think it is. It's the lighting. Room. Forget what
it's
I said.
Lighting.
Thank you. Exactly. There is a reason I normally wear a hat, though. I'll say that. What do you think about? I want to give you my take on Rhule and Penn State, and then I would love to hear yours.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to go there or not. I think anybody who's telling you they have any clue about what Penn State is going to do is either lying or trying to sell a subscription, right? Yeah. Click. So
subscribe, by the way, patreon.com/.
And subscribe to the Common Fan podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
And go to the Common Fan website. excuse me. But I just think it's so preliminary. They're hiring a search firm. It seems, at least, maybe what we know is they don't have their home run guy ready to go unless the search firm is a front. And other than that, I don't think we know anything, but I'd love to get your thoughts.
Well, I'd say this. So, you know, 3 years ago, we were all in the throes of a coaching search around here. Now, at this time, 3 years ago, the coaching search would have been a month old, which is wild to think about because they fired Frost on September 11th. But like, I use that as a way to say this. 3 years ago, on September 12th, did any board have Matt Rhule anywhere near it? The answer, of course, was no. Now, part of that was that he was a coach of the Carolina Panthers. If he would have been on the sidelines at that moment in time, and by the sidelines, I mean the non-coaching sidelines, his name probably would have showed up on those, right? So, yeah, I mean, right now, if I were to guess, I don't think Matt Rhule will leave Nebraska. But part of that, too, guys, is I just don't understand Pat Kraft, the athletic director for Penn State, getting rid of a guy who couldn't get over the hump in big games and then hiring a guy who also can't get over the hump in slightly less bigger games. And maybe maybe that's where I am wrong, because the relationship that those guys have is real. Like, if you read or hear anything about Kraft and Rhule boys, that is 100% true. So, like, don't ignore that. But I don't know, man. Doesn't that seem like a way for an athletic director to get run out of town? You know, like Eichhorst, like he hired Mike Riley and everyone was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. You're on the hot seat now. And sure.
And as it turned out, it was. As it turned out, it was.
Sorry, so like not to say that Matt Rhule is Mike Riley for Penn State, but I just, if I'm Penn State, if I'm a Penn State fan, I'm wanting a coach that can come in and change things and to take us over the top. Maybe Matt Rhule is that. He's just never shown to be that. He is a floor raiser. He is a program builder. That said, he's just never had an opportunity to bring a program over the top. So maybe he could do that if he went to Penn State.
Yeah, I don't know. Matt or Jeff, you guys have any thoughts on
this? Speaking of Penn State, I just can't believe that getting to the college football playoff and almost making it to the national title game and TJ said just getting lucky against Notre Dame.
Notre Dame got lucky. That's who. Go ahead.
Whatever, TJ. How does that not get you a little bit more leeway to not get fired mid-season? 15 days ago, that poor guy was on game day and taking Oregon to overtime.
Yeah, they had the lead. Remember, they had the lead in the first overtime. They were four downs away from being victorious and him picking up his biggest win since 2016 when they beat Ohio State on that Saturday night. And so it is wild. Like, you know, the news has been so fast and whatnot that, like, I feel like I haven't had the chance on the air yet or written about it to, like, unpack the, okay, so do we like this as a move for Penn State? Like, forget about the Matt Rhule stuff. If, like, Matt Rhule wasn't involved, we would have been talking about this from in our land from, okay, so is this the right decision to make? And, gosh, it really does. It you look back at the Frank Solich firing now, and it's like, all right, small potatoes compared to what Penn State just did. You know, like, everyone nationally kind of lost their minds, and you know, rightfully so, rightfully not, in 2003. That again, it just looks so quaint compared to a guy who had his team in the semifinals. We're recording this in mid-October. So what we're talking about 9 months ago, he was playing and his team had the ball with a chance to either tie or win the game late to go to the national championship. And now 9 months later, he is gone. It's like insane how fast this thing went from, oh, he can't win big games, to, oh, he just can't win any games anymore at Penn State. Now he's fired.
Yeah. And don't you think this, to me, this reeks of like a handful of alums, boosters that are writing big checks to the university saying, hey, we want this guy gone. Like, I don't know if we can say, like, yeah, I'm sure Kraft is the one pulling the trigger, but I have to think he was getting pressure from somewhere to make that move. Like, it does, like, everything we've laid out, like, Josh Pate had a great video that you sent us yesterday, TJ, talking about kind of about this, but about really college football in general, kind of like, it's insane. It's insane to fire a guy, you know, six games into the season when we've laid out everything that he just did 9 months ago. And I texted a buddy, Penn State alum, lives out there, you know, gives money to the university, tailgates, does all the things. And he was just shocked. Like, he was shocked that they fired him. And then I was like, you know, it's gotten some traction around here because, you know, Matt Rhule's, you know, been named as, you know, a possible replacement. And I said, I love Rhule, but I think they've got to shoot higher than that. And his response was, absolutely, with a buyout number like that, you have to go big. You have to shoot for the moon.
Yeah.
So I don't think, and I love Coach Rhule. I don't want him to go. So yeah, let's put that out there. I just don't think he's a big enough hire for Penn State fans to be like, oh, yep, this sounds
good. It'd be a lateral move.
The alum thing is not a big enough pull, I don't think, for them. Like, it is for us, right? Like, where there's Frost and it's like, oh, he's our boy. Let's bring him home. Like, I don't think it's as big of a deal for them. Well, and maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, not to mention, and I don't want to use this as like a negative, but like, he was quote unquote only a walk-on. Like, we're not talking about this like legend, right? That you know, had like this massive impact on the program from that perspective. Yeah, going back to, you know, moving on from him like they did, it certainly seems to me that by Saturday night, they had reached a point, the big money people, because I tend to think that you're correct. I think that this is more of a booster thing than it was a Pat Kraft thing. I think that they reached a point where they thought, this is untenable. We are going to make the move anyway. Let's just make it now and not have to deal with the rigmarole of will they, won't they for the next, you know, six games. Because, I mean, look, it would have gotten toxic. And I think, you know, Trev Alberts thought the same thing, you know, 3 years ago, where he's like, we just have to move on and let's just do it now rather than wait around. It does allow you to get certainly a head start on things. We saw that with Nebraska. It allowed them to get a head start and to have conversations. They literally brought Matt Rhule into town for the Illinois game a few years ago. So, like, all of that stuff, I understand it. But, man, like, I mean, his record before this year, going into the over the last 3 years, I mean, it was a ridiculous number. We're talking about a guy, it was something in six, like 35-6. The run that they had been on was pretty spectacular. It almost makes me think, they really just did not like this guy, and they were, I guess, just looking for a reason to move on from him, and losing in back-to-back games to UCLA and Northwestern, it finally gave them the off-ramp that maybe they had been looking for.
So the only question I have for you is, Matt Rhule's press conference yesterday, does that give us confidence, or should we be worried?
So that's the question right now, right? You know, I at first I watched it, so there. I'll back up for a moment. There's been a lot of chatter going around in the program, and I've heard this too from a couple of people that I trust, that Matt Rhule told the team this week, that like, I'm not leaving. I'm not going to go there. I'm staying here at Nebraska. And so I kind of had that in my mind as I sat down to watch the Monday press conference. And certainly he did not reiterate to us, to the media, to the fans, like, I am staying, right? Like, he didn't say that. He did the usual kind of political answer in terms of like, look, he was honest about his love and affinity for Penn State, which makes sense. He talked about his love for Nebraska. I thought that the press conference was awkward. I thought that normally he goes in with such a plan that it's kind of like always buttoned up, and you can tell he has a message to somebody or somebodies. And I thought he did have a message. I think the part that, you know, on listening to it again, that I maybe missed the first time was the quote he had in there, or the quotes he had about the money. I thought that that stuff really jumped out to me, where it seems like, and the phrase that I've used over the course of the last couple of days is call to arms. That's how, and I'm opening it up right now because Mitch Sherman transcribed it. So here's what Matt Rhule said. We have to be unabashed. We can't always worry about the optics of everything. It's a really hard time in higher education. There's cuts, but athletics is a separate entity. We're not talking money from the university. We're not taking money from the university. In a world of $30 to $40 million rosters, which isn't going away, I'd like us to do the same thing. And there's sort of like a, hey, that's not really the Nebraska way, and I'd like it to be. I'd like to be at the front of everything. And I think that that is ultimately what this thing is going to come down to. Is Nebraska going to pony up, not to extend Matt Rhule and give him more money? Are they willing to do the same thing for the roster? And I'd add this, you know, as I finish my super long answer on this. He is close friends with Joey McGuire. He hired Joey McGuire when he was at Baylor. Joey McGuire is currently leading a top 10 Texas Tech team. How did Texas Tech become a top 10 football team seemingly overnight? They have a billionaire benefactor in Cody Campbell who wants them to be good, and they have pumped a ton of money into the roster, specifically on the lines on both offense and defense. I have to imagine that he is looking at Texas Tech right now and saying, why can't we do the same thing? Now, I can tell you why Nebraska maybe can't do the same thing. They don't have a billionaire benefactor who is willing to do that, because Warren Buffett has never shown a willingness to do that. They also do not have oil money up the wazoo around here. But if they could do that, then that's how you go from where they are maybe to where Texas Tech is today. So I think that that is the crux of everything. Can Nebraska, or is Nebraska able to spend the type of money that Texas Tech is? And if they are, I think Matt Rhule is going to be the head coach next year. If they're not, there's a real, you know, real chance that he's on the sidelines in State College.
Wow.
Why does Warren Buffett hate Nebraska football?
Great question. That's the question we've all been asking, right? Like, it's so funny, you know, like people for years have been making that joke. Why won't he do it? You know, because was it probably Phil Knight the first time that, you know, yeah, a billionaire Phil was like, hey, I'm going to pump a ton of money. And then we saw T. Boone Pickens down at Oklahoma State. Why can't Warren Buffett do that? The answer is I don't know. The answer is unanswerable, I guess, at this point.
Come on, he could be Uncle Warren. We could call him Uncle Warren.
We could. Yep. Yeah,
you know, his name on a couple buildings. It'd be great. Mm-hmm.
Just to put a bow on the Penn State conversation, I think the main takeaway too is like you guys are spot on. Like Rhule, and some of this is because he took over dumpster fires and it took a couple years to build them up. And so, but the career record is not overwhelming.
500 coach.
Yeah, it's 500 coach. And I think you're going to lose to more ranked teams when you take over teams coming off 1 and 2 win seasons, mm-hmm. and you're taking a couple years to build them up. So the Husker fan hope, of course, is that he's never stayed anywhere long enough, once he's turned these programs around, to start winning those big games consistently. So I think it's not inconsistent to say we love Rhule. We love the direction he's taking the program. We think he can get over the top and start winning these games consistently. But also, Pat Kraft and company have to sell a home run higher to their fan base. And for all the reasons we've just said, you cannot pull the trigger on a guy who's won conference championships, who's been to the college football playoff. And then I think when you look at the numbers, Rhule looks like a career 500 coach and can't win the big one and all those things. I just think it's like we've talked about when we did our Reckoning series and talking about, like, if you're going to fire a 9-3 coach, and which Nebraska did twice, you better have your Nick Saban lined up. You better have your Urban Meyer lined up. And I don't know who that is for Penn State. It's obviously not our job to know that, but I just think they're going to have to go with a splash hire, and ideally for them, a proven winner, someone who has won conference championships. And I think Rule won one or two with Temple, but like, yeah, it's someone who has won big time conference championships and played in the playoff in the last 5 years.
Yeah, TJ, I couldn't agree with you more, especially about, you know, you said what you did at the beginning about Matt Rhule, and, you know, we have never seen him really, you know, follow through on a job, which is why I've always thought the top 25 stuff, at least in years one and two at Nebraska, I was like, look, I'm not like overly going to be focused on that just yet, because a lot of that record is in the early years, you know, like. Now it's year three. I think it's time to start showing that, you know, that you can beat some of those teams, and maybe they're going to have a chance versus USC in a few weeks. And then maybe at Iowa after that, who knows? And so like, that's how I have viewed it there. And so you always think, okay, what happens if he finally gets to a year four, let alone a year five?
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
From the Penn State perspective, I also couldn't agree with you more. Like, I think this is definitely closer to the 2003 firing of Frank Solich than it is the 2014 firing of Bo Pelini. In terms of, like, I think they're going to go after some big names. The question is, will they be able to land those? So my argument over the last week, you know, ever since they lost to UCLA, people have been wondering, okay, is James Franklin going to get fired? And so, you know, in my circles, Jack Mitchell and I, we did a podcast last Wednesday night, and we discussed it. And I said, look, he is not going to be their first name. And I still believe that, by the way. I don't think Matt Rhule is the first name. Where I would get concerned, of course, is, are their first, second, third, however many names going to say no? Cignetti is like every hot board, right? You go and there's Kurt Cignetti's name. I don't think Kurt Cignetti is going to leave Indiana. So like, I think he is a no. You mentioned, TJ, a name that I wonder if they're going to try, and that's Urban Meyer. You know, if you he's younger than Kurt Cignetti, which seems weird to me. I feel like he's way older than him. And you wonder if a couple of things. One, does he really want an opportunity after the flame out in Jacksonville to try, like, to show, I am still that guy. I can win in this era of college football. I want to finish my career, my coaching career, with one more run at a national championship. So you have, you know, you have that question with him that I find really interesting. And then the thing that I know about Urban Meyer, in this is the antithesis, if you will, of Matt Rhule, is he is the over-the-top guy. He went to Bowling Green and, you know, whatever their version of over-the-top is, he got him there. He went to Utah, and that was the first, people forget this, that was the first non-power, non-BCS school to make a BCS game, and they did it in the old rules. They didn't get the automatic berth because they were the number one, you know, non-BCS school. They were a top four team, I think, and they made a BCS bowl game. Then what does he do? He goes to Florida, he wins two natties in 3 years, then he goes to Ohio State, and he gives them a national championship. So, like, he has always been the guy to take them over the top. And I would add this too. I think that we are in a very much a post shame society. And so any drama or controversy about Urban Meyer at Ohio State, I mean, guys, that was 7 years ago now, what happened with Zach Smith in 2018. I don't think that matters anymore. And even if it did, they're just going to tweet right through it. Like, I don't think people care about that type of stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if they kick the tires on him, and I wonder if he would be open to it. My co-host on the radio, John Bishop, thinks that he would not do it because he's really an Ohio State guy. He's an Ohio guy, and that's a good argument, but I don't know. There's a part of me that wonders if he'd want one more, you know, bite at the apple to try to turn his career, finish his career maybe in a better spot.
It's so funny to think about the what drove Tressel out of that job and how everybody everyone would forget about it in about 6 hours today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Yeah. Well, yeah. Literally wouldn't even be a controversy. We would never hear about it. Yeah.
Right.
Well, should we move on to Minnesota, boys?
Let's do it. Let's do
it.
Yeah. Do we have a game this week? Oh, I forgot.
There is a football game. Yeah.
They're all, and it's a big one. They're all big now, TJ.
Oh, yeah.
I actually didn't forget about it. I think about it all the time. Sorry.
Well, let's talk about, you know, Josh, we wanted to ask you, Nebraska's faced some pretty good quarterbacks this year. You know, it's looking like, you know, Brennan Sorsby, maybe a candidate for player of the year in the Big 12. And, you know, Bryce Underwood, you know, while he's got a little ways to go throwing the ball, in my opinion, he's to me about as good as advertised. Aiden Childs, pretty athletic. The Washington kid from Maryland, pretty dang good. He could spin it. So looking at Drake Lindsey from Minnesota, he's a redshirt freshman, completing 60% of his passes, 1,284 yards, 9 touchdowns, only 3 picks. Where do you think Lindsey ranks among the quarterbacks Nebraska's seen so far?
That's a good question. I would say, I honestly, probably behind the four that you just mentioned, I think is, or the three you just mentioned. So I'd probably say fourth. Sorsby is definitely the best. No, you did mention four. Yeah, because the last three opponents and then Sorsby. He's probably in that 4 to 5 range. Mm-hmm. So I mean, you know, it's funny. We're coming off now of the Nebraska-Maryland game, which was the worst that Nebraska's pass defense has looked all year. And still, like, the numbers are fine. Like, it wasn't like a disaster. It was just that there were guys that were running open from time to time. And they were able to, Maryland was, they were able to pick up some chunk yards in that game. And so I'm interested to see how they get up off the mat in this, off the proverbial mat, if you will, in this one against this offense that, like, this team, man, this Minnesota team, honestly, like, a huge reason that I am still like a little squeamish and I have not decided on my pick just yet is more the history, the recent history of these two teams playing. It is not about this year's Minnesota team right now, and it's really not even about this year's Nebraska team. It is just another one of those, can they do it? Can they go into a place that they haven't won in a literal decade? They haven't won there since Mike Riley's first year in 2015. Can they? Matt Rhule brought this up in his press conference on Monday. Can they win back-to-back road games in back-to-back weeks for the first time since 2006? So we're talking about almost 20 years now, which is an insane stat. Thank you, Bill Callahan, for the back-to-back wins in 2006 on the road. And so it's like,
Josh, I'm sorry, Josh, we don't thank Bill Callahan on this program.
I did that just for you.
I'm sorry.
I did that just
for
you.
Yeah.
So like, can they do that? But like, I don't think I look at the quarterback and say like, oh man, that's what gives me pause. It's like all the other stuff, but yet, do we need to stop worrying about the other stuff, given that they had two drives on offense, two stops on defense in the game over Maryland? Actually, three stops, right? It was stop with that Deason McCullough play on third down is still awesome. Huge. I tweeted about it, and it's continuing to get retweets and likes because he retweeted it, so it's like way out into the ether right now. So they get that stop. The offense goes down. They end up having to settle for a field goal, but then they get another stop. They go down for the touchdown, and then they get one more stop. So, like, those five drives in the fourth quarter, talk about, like, the best complimentary football in a big game that we have seen from Nebraska in quite some time. And so, like, it gives me, like, the pause of maybe they have turned this corner. Like, this isn't the final boss. Beating Minnesota isn't the final boss. Beating Iowa is the final boss. But, man, if you want to talk about the groin kick era continuing to go by the wayside, short week, place that is a house of horrors for you, like, I'd really start believing if they're able to get this one and move to 6-1, you know, a record that they haven't had in quite some time either.
TJ, final boss is like a video game reference and wrestling reference, just so you know. Just as you're aware there.
Thank you, Jeff. I legitimately did not know what that meant, but I just was able to
context clues.
Was able to deduce the gist of it.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Good. Thank you for that clarity, Jeff. Yeah.
You're welcome. We talked about Drake Lindsey. We didn't talk about the elephant in the room, and that's the most annoying college football coach out there right now, PJ Fleck. You know, death, taxes, and PJ Fleck is a D-bag.
Now, is he annoying, or is he just two sides of the same coin that Matt Rhule is on the other side of? I mean,
I don't want to hear that ever. I don't want to hear that ever.
If PJ was at Nebraska and Matt Rhule was at Washington or at Minnesota, you guys would be like, God, I hate that Matt Rhule guy, but I love PJ.
I don't think PJ's act plays in Lincoln.
You don't think so? No. I think Matt Rhule does a very sick. The only difference is that he doesn't have a row the boat phrase, but I mean, he has like eight phrases though.
I don't. I think PJ wears thin in Lincoln really quickly.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I don't. You guys would love him.
You're probably right.
Why is that guy doing a podcast? This is stupid. He should stop doing a podcast to coach his team.
I mean, I'm bald. I've got glasses. I'll put on a sweater vest if he begins.
Exactly. Oh, look at that. I love that outfit.
Are you wearing socks right now, Jeff? Are you wearing socks?
I am wearing socks. Okay. Yeah, that would be a tough. No socks in Wilford. Let's get back on track here.
Yeah, sorry. Let's shit on him a little bit. Crap on him. Sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that word.
You're good.
I think it flies. Yeah.
It's okay.
What else do we need to know about the Gophers besides the quarterback situation? I admittedly don't know jack about him. Is there anything we need to be worried about, or what do we have to look forward to with Minnesota this year?
Well, that's
weird, Jeff. You don't know anything about the Gophers?
I don't do research against opponents. Why would I do? That's why we have the guests on, to tell me these things.
Yeah, honestly, guys, they are like a middle of the pack kind of team in a lot of categories. You know, like we do this segment on Thursdays now on Sportsman Icona called 1620 The Analytics, and we look at a variety of our favorite websites that we have stumbled upon in recent years, GameOnPaper.com, CFB-graphs.com, et cetera, et cetera. And so like these websites use like color-coded little areas to recognize like good, great, average, below average, and absolute trash. And so a lot of the times with some of the opponents lately, you know, like Michigan, there was a lot of green, for example. Green is a good color that you want to have. There was a little blue is a color on one of the websites you want to have. Red is often like you don't want to be in the red. And so Michigan had some blue. They had maybe a couple reds. Maryland last week, they had a lot of bad. They had a lot of red. Minnesota, it's when there's average, it's like no color. It's just white. Minnesota, I'm looking at some of their numbers right now. It's a lot of white. Their EPA per play on offense, 61st, pretty much average. Their offense success rate, 70th, pretty much right in the middle of the country. Defensive success rate, literally 67th. That is as middle of the pack as you can be. Net field position, 42nd versus Nebraska, which is in the top 30 in a lot of those metrics. Their net field position, they're in the top 10. And so I view this game, and the line has been wild over the course of this week, because it opened on FanDuel at 4.5. On Monday, it was almost 10. And so, like, look, famous last words. But is there a world where Nebraska, like, wins a comfortable game? Like, they have to put together consistent, non-dumb drives. I think right now when Nebraska's offense is playing well, they've shown this in the last two games, basically the first and fourth quarters. Wow, they look really good. They're moving the ball up and down the field, right? They look pretty. But man, when they look bad, it is like awful. And Dylan throws like weird interceptions, or they run goofy fourth downs, and it doesn't make any sense why
they get sacked three times in a row.
They get sacked three times in a row on the worst football drive that I've seen in years around here. And so I think I've reached the point with Nebraska, especially in a game versus a team like this. And I know the question originally was about Minnesota, but I get to a point where I'm like, if they can just put together like solid drives, I really do. Like, I'm starting to trust them a little bit more. I trust the defense, I think, more overall than the offense right now, which I don't think I would have said certainly like 3 weeks ago, let alone before the season. I just think they got to do that, though. Like, can they start being a more consistent football team on offense? Because if they can, this is a team in Minnesota that should not beat them. All of the stuff with Minnesota is just about, again, the mental house of horrors nature of this rivalry over the last decade.
Well, and hopefully Rhule, I mean, he's only played him once and should have won that game.
True.
And most of these guys haven't, you know, hopefully, like most of these guys, that's not even a factor for them. But I agree with you, Josh. I honestly think, how do I say it? They are more better than Minnesota than they were Michigan State or Maryland. I don't know. Michigan State's a weird one. Then maybe they just lost to UCLA. Who knows? But like, I think like the gap between the two teams is not that small. I think they should win this game by 10 or more points. I really do. But to your point, they just do, you know, both games, Michigan State and Maryland, that we've won, they've had double-digit leads. And then suddenly we're scrambling to come back late in the second half. We're in the Maryland game late in the game.
Yeah. Remember the feelings you had in the third quarter against Michigan State? Like, whoa, like what in the world is happening right now? And then they won by double digits, you know?
Right.
So, anyway.
Yeah, right. So I think part of what could help consistency on offense and avoid those big mistakes. And we're trying not to sound like old men who grew up in the 90s, even though we are, is pounding the rock. And they went a long way toward establishing that against Maryland. Do you think that was more, that's going to be a more like take what the defense gives you opponent by opponent thing? Or do you think they're trying to establish a little bit more of a rushing identity?
I would hope that that is going to be a more regular occurrence for Nebraska football moving forward. Going back to some of those stats that I just referenced, Minnesota's EPA per rush is 76 in the country. So again, average. Nebraska, for the record, is also viewed as an average team in terms of running the football, though I think a lot of that is probably going to be weighed down by the non-Emmett Johnson running backs whenever they carry it. Thankfully, there's a lot of stuff that I've said on the internet over the last year that gives me a lot of warm and fuzzies about Emmett Johnson. Like, that was the game that I've been waiting for from him. That was the game that I've been waiting for from the staff. He has looked all year long. I thought he's looked like a quicker running back. His vision looks better. He looks faster overall. He runs through tackles better. Like, I think he's done all of those things better. Saturday against Maryland was finally when it like really came together. And that 50-yard run that he had is easily the best play of his career. When you consider what he did, the athletic nature of the play, and what it meant for the team at that moment in time, he has not had a better play than that. I think, guys, he is getting better this year. I think he looks better than he did in week one. Yeah. And the thing that I was wondering about all offseason with him was, you know, okay, he's averaging in the Dana Holgorsen last four games as play caller. He was averaging 20 and a half touches. He was averaging a little more than 100 yards from scrimmage per game. And it's like, is that feasible? And I remember going into the opener, we were doing a pregame show on the Zone, and John said, John Bishop, my co-host, I don't trust Barthel to do the rotation where he is getting that many touches. And John was wrong, but for the wrong reason, because he got 32 touches that night against Cincinnati, right? And so they were able to dial it back in some of those other games. He's not been perfect this year, you know, against some of these other teams. He has not run for like a ton of yards. But wow, that game against Maryland was absolutely awesome. And I would hope so. To answer your question, ultimately, I would hope that they view that and say, why shouldn't we just continue running the ball? You know, go back to the first Scott Frost year. You know, Divine Azigbo really came on strong, and they started leaning on him more and more as I think they realized, ooh, we got something with this guy. I think that you should view what happened on Saturday against Maryland as, ooh, we got something with this guy. He's not just serviceable, and he's not just a guy who can get to 100 yards if you give him enough touches. No, he can be a 100-yard back. Remove the 50-yarder. He still averaged 6 yards a carry. Like, you view it as like, wow, he averaged like 9 yards a carry. That's incredible. Yeah, but he had a big play. Yeah, he had one massive play. Otherwise, he was still very consistent. And that's always what he has been, a very consistent running back. I think he's leveled up this year, and I would love to see it continue versus Minnesota, Northwestern, and beyond.
Oh, yeah, we would too. We've been banging the drum for Emmett Johnson going on.
Yes, we have.
I mean, EJ Hyde.
Before last year. I guess we'll finish up with this one, TJ. Josh, Nebraska 5-1, second season in a row.
Yep.
Despite, you know, a setback against Michigan. I think, you know, at least we believe on this pod that optimism is pretty close to sky high in Husker Nation. Josh, what do you think the ceiling is for this year's Husker team?
Well, it's definitely changed since before the year. And part of that is Penn State is now a disaster. You know, we do this exercise before every season where we go, we'll win. Should win, might win, won't win. And so we try to put every game in a bucket. So like the will win games, for example, were the two non-Cincinnati non-conference games, mm-hmm. Akron and Houston Christian, right? Like there's no way they're going to lose those games. The majority of the season fell in the should win and might win category. I put one game before the year and won't win, and that was Penn State. And of course, like I would not do that today. I would absolutely not view, heck, you could make an argument that's a should-win game. I will put it in the might-win category because it's a road game and it's usually a tough atmosphere. And also, it's going to be a weird week if we have no clarity on the job situation, which can't wait to cover that one. So I think the ceiling, look, is the ceiling 11-1? Like, I guess so. I'm not going to ever predict that. Wow. That would require 8 wins in a row after the Michigan loss. So, like, I'm not going to say that because that is something the program has not done since they started 2001, 11-0. I'm not going to predict that they win 8 games in a row. That is the ceiling. I think the more realistic ceiling now is probably like a 9-3. So for the record, I picked 7-5 before the year. Through six games, they have won the five that I picked they would, and they lost the one that I thought they would lose. Now, the Michigan week this year, I did pick them to beat them. But before the year, I thought they would win. They would start 3-0. They would lose to Michigan. They would win the next two. And this was the game that I viewed as their second loss. I thought they would get to bowl eligibility versus Northwestern. I think, guys, and I haven't verbalized this yet on any of my shows this week, so you guys are getting
Breaking news.
This is the game that decides what path they go down. If they lose, I think 7-5 is very much back on the menu. If they win, I think then you can really start thinking, okay, what's possible? Because I think they'll beat Northwestern, and then that will set up versus a 1 or 2 loss USC, depending on what happens, because they only have one game before that against Notre Dame this weekend. And is suddenly a massive, massive game. They would be in the playoff rankings. Like, we would suddenly be having a lot of different conversations around here. I think this week decides it. If Nebraska is going to reach whatever the ceiling is, whether you view it as 11-1, they certainly have to win this week. But even if you view it at 10-2 or even 9-3, I think they got to win this game to reach that. Yeah. Because if they don't, I just think it's going to be really difficult, because UCLA is suddenly a little bit tougher, and they lost to them last year, and that team sucked too, and it's on the road. Penn State, and like, I just will never view the Iowa game as just like slam dunk victory until they give me a reason to view it as a slam dunk victory. So like, that's three other losses potentially on the schedule, and that's not even counting this week as well. So got to win this game, I think, if you're going to reach whatever the ceiling is.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely not sleeping till Friday now. Friend of the program, Josh Peterson, thanks so much for joining us again, Josh.
Thanks, Josh.
Really great to see you. Always love your insight. Check out all his stuff at the I-80 Club and on 1620 the Zone and on Husker Max. And speaking of not sleeping, you probably don't sleep doing all that stuff. But great to have you as always, Josh. Hey, Common fans, be kind to each other. We'll be back at you after the Minnesota game. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Holy moly! Man, woman, and child did that. Put them in the aisles.
And Nebraska takes the lead. And the national championship is Nebraska's.